This is The Drive with Josh Graham Podcast. Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on Sports Hub Triad.
We've got a huge show today. A day after essentially moving on from Cam Newton, the Carolina Panthers cut controversial safety Eric Reed. I'll share my thoughts on that in just a few minutes. Panthers Hall of Honor inductee Jordan Gross in 30 minutes. But I've spent a lot of time thinking about Cam's career in Charlotte over the last 20 hours or so, trying to think of ways to do it justice, and this is where I arrived. He isn't the most talented professional athlete we've had in this state, but I do believe he is the most iconic. Talent doesn't always translate to celebrity or notoriety. Look at some of the examples we see in the NBA. I'd argue today, Robert, Luka Doncic is a better player than Zion Williamson. However, Zion's getting more national TV games. Ja Morant, he might be having a better rookie year. He might be the better rookie right now and the more complete basketball player than Zion. But Zion gets the national slots because he is iconic. He's an iconic player. He is a phenom. That's not always meaning you're the most talented. In fact, I'd say Luke Kuechly, more consistently, a talented player, a more talented, superior player to Cam Newton. Julius Peppers, the same way. But the reason Cam is the most iconic is because he was unique. Not rare, unique. Rare means you got a few of them. We've seen it before, but there are very few of them. Cam is not that. Unique means one. Cam is the only thing even remotely like him we've seen in the National Football League. There's no quarterback that's been built like him. He's the greatest red zone threat we've ever seen. I think that's enough to get him into the Hall of Fame one day, just as long as his career's not over. He has to produce one or two more good seasons, I think, to be in Canton one day. His personality, it's iconic. The smile, million megawatt smile, always has been that way. He is a content machine. There aren't many quarterbacks. I'm excited to hear what they have to say after games. Win or lose, Cam is giving us something after a game. Can't say that about Russell Wilson. Can't say that about Drew Brees. These guys are robots. Peyton Manning. They understand what these press conferences are, but when I ask Cam questions, I'm always thinking about it as like a show producer. Hey, what's something I could throw at Cam to see if he can entertain us? Like I view it as trying to lob him a softball and to say something entertaining that's going to run all the radio shows and TV shows the next day. His outfits. The dabbing. That became a thing. I lived in Colorado during the 2015 Super Bowl run when they went 15-1. And I'm in a town of 2,400 people in Colorado, and kids are coming up to me, not even knowing I'm from North Carolina, and they're dabbing. That's a thing nationally. I don't know how many quarterbacks can become that sensational. How many football players can become that sensational? So with all due respect to Dale Sr. and NASCAR and all the others who are great in that sport, with all due respect to some of the NBA guys, Kemba Walker, Alonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson, Cam Newton, he's the most iconic athlete we've ever had in the state of North Carolina. He made the Panthers relevant. I mean, just look across the NFL. How many Matt Ryan segments do you see on First Take and Undisputed and other places? How often does that come up? Right? How often is Matt Stafford in the middle of conversation? Like the Panthers, they had the one Super Bowl contending year and they made the playoffs a couple other times with Cam, but I don't think the Panthers are a lot better than what the Atlanta Falcons have been over the last decade. So why isn't Matt Ryan discussed left and right? The answer? He's bland. He's boring. He's vanilla. He's vanilla toast. That's what Matt Ryan is as a personality. Heck, even Russell Wilson. The most interesting thing Russell's ever said is when he's laying in bed with Sierra after signing the massive contract. But aside from that, very uninteresting. Cam is always polarizing. There are always headlines surrounding him because the national host, TV and radio, they spend time on Cam, and the audience programs the TV and radio shows. If you have thoughts on Cam Newton's career and how you would best sum it up, some of the things you most remember, on Twitter at SportsHub, try it. You can try it, chime in that way. 336-777-1600 is the phone number. How many Sam Bradford segments do you remember? How many Alex Smith segments? There seemed to be, when Cam is playing, at least once a month, a national show has a take about Cam that we have to react to, that people are sending into my email and putting onto my Twitter stream. Here's the part I don't understand. I understand why he's polarizing nationally. This is the part I actually want some feedback on the audience, from the audience on. I'll never understand his polarity in North Carolina. Like, he's not a political guy. Like, we'll get to Eric Reed in a second. I understand when athletes dabble into politics, people who don't like that, people who might disagree with that, and hold it against the athlete. What political stance has Cam taken? He's stayed away from politics. He's stayed away with trouble from the law. Like, Cam's not a high alcohol. He's not a high crime guy. He's big in charity. That's why he was a Walter Payton Man of the Year finalist. He loves kids. When he scores touchdowns, he's giving the ball to fans in the end zone. It's an incredible deal that he does. Charity-wise. Like, he loves the state of North Carolina all the way through, even through yesterday. Cam was always loyal to Charlotte and the state of North Carolina. Yet, when I go around and talk to people about Cam, men, women, kids, adults, they are split on him. There's a racial element to this, sure, but that's not all of it. The dabbing, some view that as being a bit of a showboat. It does border confidence and arrogance. People don't like arrogant guys. He is demonstrative. The outfits, people struggle to understand that. But that's not nearly enough, I think, to justify how polarizing he was all the years he played with the Panthers. Now that it seems to be over, and we'll see what team he's going to play for later on this fall. Shifting things to Eric Reed. Carolina cuts ties with a safety 13 months ago. They signed to a 3-year contract extension. Let me start with this on the front end. Cutting Eric Reed isn't a political statement. The Panthers, they signed Reed when nobody would. David Tepper pulled the trigger on that. Marty Herney's been around. In fact, Marty Herney is the person that extended him 3 years last season. The reason Eric Reed is no longer on the roster, or at least one of the reasons, culture. Culture is a very important thing to Matt Rhule. These are two of the buzzwords we've heard from him the last few months. Culture and process. Trey Turner, he asked for a trade. He asked for a contract extension. He gets a trade, and he is traded for a player who might be older than Trey in Russell Okun, but there is familiarity there with offensive line coach Pat Meyer, who was in Los Angeles coaching him the last handful of years. That familiarity led to Meyer believing that Okun was a fit in whatever culture Matt Rhule is trying to foster here. Same thing on quarterback. They move off of Cam, who's been the leader of this franchise essentially for the last decade, in favor of Teddy Bridgewater, who Joe Brady can swear by. Joe Brady working with him in New Orleans when he was there a couple years ago. Luke Kuechly, he's not there on defense anymore, surprisingly retiring shortly after Matt Rhule was hired. Who's the leading voice of the defense now? KK Short, he's not a loud vocal guy. Maybe he has to become that. But Eric Reed was. He was a guy that people responded to in the locker room. So if you're trying to develop some of these younger players and make them the voices on that defense and have that match the culture that you're trying to build,
I could see the Panthers saying, okay, this guy's too expensive, and we want a different voice in the locker room on that side of the ball. I mentioned the cash. It does save them money. $3.5 million off the cap. It could be as much as $5 million. Robert was telling me they're looking at a post-June designation, which would potentially save them another million or two off the cap. You don't pick up the second year. He was getting top 10 safety money when he signed it last year. I don't think his play really justified that, albeit I think he's been a really nice player for the Panthers. Also, this week they signed Justin Burris. I could read my own notes in front of me here. He was the former NC State safety. So they bring him in. Trey Boston, he was extended. So you have your safety core that you're going to move forward with. And he's cheaper. The Panthers, they know exactly what direction they're headed in. It perfectly fits in the business of a rebuild. It's good business for a rebuild, just like moving off Cam was for Teddy Bridgewater, 3 years, $20 million a year, essentially. And on top of that, a quarterback who's 27 years old, a 3-year contract, a lot of flexibility there moving forward. Like I said, Jordan Gross, Panthers Hall of Honor inductee from this year, going to join us in a little over 15 minutes. But I have a strong leaning on where Cam Newton's going to be playing football this fall. It's based on some of the reports I'm seeing and also some info I've received over the last 20 hours. That's next on The Drive.
Stand by as we continue our dig for the truth and the toy at the bottom of the cereal box.
Oh, got it.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
Yesterday, we had a segment called Cam Newtown, where I narrowed the list of Cam Newton suitors to three. The New England Patriots, the Los Angeles Chargers, and the Chicago Bears. Since then, there has been news to cut down the list and some information I've gathered, which I'll share with you in a minute. But first, the news. The Chicago Bears have traded a fourth-round draft pick, which was a comp pick they were awarded, to the Jacksonville Jaguars in exchange for Nick Foles. Foles, about $5, $6 million cheaper than Cam Newton's contract this year. But apparently, the Jaguars are going to foot the bill for this season while the Bears will be responsible for the remaining 2 years on Foles' contract. That might have been the deal breaker in that, but Foles is the guy who's either going to push Mitchell Trubisky or end up starting for the Bears this year. The New England Patriots. Last night when I got home, I just started texting people. And specifically, I was interested if New England might take a run at Cam. But the more and more I talked to people who were very familiar with the Patriots and the NFL, what I kept getting back was, it's not a fit. It's not a brand fit for Cam. It's not a brand fit for the Patriots. Cam Newton, he's going to be a great player for any coach. He always listens to what he's told to do, but instincts have to come in at some point, and Cam's instincts, I don't think, fit with what Bill Belichick wants in a quarterback. Any team that accepts Cam Newton, wants to bring him in via trade or signing him, if the Panthers release him, they're not going to change him at this point. They have to mold what they're doing around Cam's strengths and his skill set. The New England Patriots aren't going to do that. So cut out the Patriots, cut out the Bears. I think the Chargers are the team for Cam. But you might be somebody who follows the NFL headlines hour to hour, minute to minute very closely. You might be thinking, Josh, what about Ian Rappaport's report? His Rappa report? Around 2 o'clock today, he said, with Tom Brady headed to the Bucs, the Chargers are not expected to sign or trade for a veteran quarterback. They're moving forward with Tyrod Taylor for 2020. Perfect. That's what I think. In fact, this makes me think that the Panthers are going to cut
Cam Newton because they're not going to have a trade partner. Nobody, I think, is going to give away assets to bring in a quarterback that's already going to have a fat cap hit on him. The value on Cam is down. There are logistical things and hoops you have to go through in order to just get a physical done for Cam. So nobody's going to trade for him. He's going to get released. So this is the Chargers' way of letting the Panthers know, we're not interested. We're going to move forward with Tyrod Taylor. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We have a new stadium that we hope is going to be ready for the start of the year that we're sharing with the Los Angeles Rams. We're going to be starting this new stadium, letting Phillip Rivers go, and bringing in Tyrod Taylor. A day after we wanted a star polarizing quarterback that we can put on a poster and sell tickets and put butts in seats. A guy who can do that. We're way past that now. We're just focused on Tyrod Taylor. Please. The moment the Panthers release Cam, it's gonna be the LA Chargers. It's a perfect fit in all accounts. I got a text from somebody in Indianapolis at the Combine 3 weeks ago who said the Chargers are interested in Cam. And then 7 o'clock last night when the Brady news becomes official with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I get another text essentially saying Chargers, all caps, same person. Now, does that mean for sure Cam's going to be a Charger? No. But when the Panthers release Cam, which is something I think is going to happen, I don't think anybody's giving away draft capital, and also the physical really complicates things as well. I don't think anybody's going to trade anything for Carolina to Carolina when you see the headlines and you see the quotes from Tepper and Marty Herney. He's going to become a free agent. I think it's going to be the Chargers for these reasons. LA still needs a star, and he's the only one left. Brady, he's in Tampa. Nick Foles traded to the Bears. Looking at some other examples, Mariota, he's with Oakland, now with Las Vegas, excuse me. So it's either him, Cam, that is, Andy Dalton, or Jameis Winston. I think it makes lifestyle sense for Cam to be in Los Angeles. Think about it. The outfits, the flair, the TV shows. This is something I want to ask Jordan Gross when he joins us in 10 minutes, somebody who's been a teammate with Cam. What do you think Cam's next move is going to be when he's done playing football? Because I don't see him being an analyst in a booth or in a studio. I think he told us a lot after the Super Bowl year where his interests lie. He did a show, I think, on Nickelodeon. On top of that, he's done other TV hits. He's very entertaining, has great comedic timing. I think that's his next role. Something on television, maybe like a Michael Strahan. That's what I think Cam has next when football is over for him. What better fit for Cam in that regard than Los Angeles? Also, there's familiarity there. Trey Turner, one of his closest friends on the roster, traded to the LA Rams, or to the Chargers, excuse me. Football sense. You got that solidarity that Phillip Rivers didn't have on the interior offensive line. Granted, they traded away Russell Okun in order to get that, but they brought in Brian Bulaga yesterday, the offensive tackle from the Packers. So the offensive line's going to be okay. You have better weapons in LA, throwing the ball to Eckler, throwing the ball to Greensboro's own Keenan Allen. So there's football sense there, lifestyle sense, there's familiarity, and also LA, which all along said they wanted a star, even though I see this headline with Tyrod Taylor, I still believe they want that. And Cam, outside of Tom Brady, is the most polarizing quarterback in the NFL. So I think it's going to be, eventually, the Los Angeles Chargers. All week long, we've been doing our brackets, trying to revive March Madness. We don't have college basketball brackets to fill out, so we had the 2000s pop music bracket, the romantic comedy bracket that we did yesterday. Today, it's the 90s kids show bracket. Getting a lot of feedback on this on Twitter, at Sports Hub Triad, at Josh Graham Radio. You can find the bracket there. Let's knock out one of the four regions.
It's time for March Madness. The madness continues on Sports Hub Triad. When I wake up in the morning and the market's out of water, I don't think I'll ever make it on time. Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
very best, like no one ever was.
It's the 90s Kid Show Bracket. Let's go to the West Philadelphia region,
where, of course, the number one seed in the entire tournament is the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, going up against 16-seeded Sister Sister. This is going to be a boat racing in the first round. This is the weakest of the brackets, in my opinion. 8-seed Double Dare versus 9th-seeded Powder Puff Girls. Double Dare, I think, a little bit more well-known. They're going to advance. They're a lot more entertainment value to that show, brings in more people than the Powderpuff Girls do.
Yeah, and when the Powderpuff Girls, you're worried about isolating half of the audience. You know, half of the males are going to be worried about rooting for a female-centric. Not that I don't think they can't lead, but I think that would ostracize part of their audience.
Toughest first-round matchup in this region. Wishbone is a 13-seed facing 4th-seeded Animaniacs. I love dogs. I love Zaboomafoo and Wishbone, so I think I'm going to go Wishbone to pull off the upset to face what the winner is going to be in the 5-12 matchup. Saved by the Bell, underseeded in my opinion, facing 12-seeded Courage the Cowardly Dog.
And see, the problem with this is you're going to worry about in crunch time if Courage is really going to have the courage
exactly
to step up and win those games.
Saved by the Bell, underseeded. They advance easily.
For
Reading
sure.
Rainbow versus Teletubbies. Man, going Teletubbies. SpongeBob, 3-seed. Underseeded as well, facing Sonic the Hedgehog. I like SpongeBob to face Teletubbies in the next round. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers against... Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
And see, that's what I'm worried
Better
about.
Game, not as good of a show. Power Rangers for sure as a 7-seed going
Carmen
through.
Carmen doesn't even show up.
Recess, Waxes, Dragon Tales. Fresh Prince takes care of Double Dare in the round of 32. Wishbone versus Saved by the Bell. I'm going Saved by the Bell. Teletubbies versus SpongeBob. This is going to be closer than you think, but SpongeBob is going to eke through to the Sweet 16. Recess versus Power Rangers. Recess is the 2-seed, but the Power Rangers, man, you have a lot of guys you can go to in the bank. If it's not going to be the red Power Ranger, the black one can come through. The white Power Ranger was my favorite.
You even got the green Power Ranger
yes.
off the bench.
Right. Power Rangers beats Recess. Sweet 16, Fresh Prince versus Saved by the Bell. This is really the key matchup of this region.
That's what we've all been waiting for.
Fresh Prince because of Carlton's dancing.
Wow.
To the Elite Eight. SpongeBob versus Power Rangers. This is the issue with SpongeBob. Very late 1990s. Its greatness was in the 2000s. So I think the Power Rangers is where we're going to go here to the Elite Eight. It is Fresh Prince versus Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It's just hard to go up against the intro music of Fresh Prince. Everybody knows West Philadelphia, born and raised. People in the office filling out this bracket today, they were singing that song.
It's their bracket. They're literally in the West Philadelphia bracket.
Home court advantage.
Yeah, there you go.
So Fresh Prince advances to the Final Four out of the West Philadelphia region.
And is anybody surprised by that? I'm not. I know Will was coming to play. RIP. I can't think of the uncle's name. Why can I not think of this?
That's not good.
Uncle
I want to make
you,
Uncle Phil. I was trying to let you dig yourself out of that.
Uncle Phil, and despite them switching aunts halfway through the season, I think that Aunt Viv gave the boost she needed to in the second half
yes.
of this bracket, and I'm not surprised to see the number one seed take this region.
Jordan Gross, the man responsible for Cam's blindside for a few years, who you might know as a Panthers Hall of Honor inductee or from the Panthers Radio Network, will share his memories of Cam with all of us next.
Come here to talk sports.
It is man at his most man.
And do it like you mean it.
What you got, biatch?
This is The Drive with Josh Graham.
Jordan Gross now with us, Panthers Hall of Honor inductee. I'm a big fan of this guy because he was always an interesting quote as a player, very good broadcaster on the Panthers Radio Network, and me and him are also huge Avett Brothers fans. But The news yesterday, the Panthers are allowing Cam Newton to seek a trade. You see comments where the team is thanking Cam for his time with the Panther. As a Panther, it seems very awkward considering he's still on the roster right now. But Jordan, I'm interested. What was your reaction to yesterday's news as somebody who protected his blind side for a couple of years?
Well, glad to be on and glad to talk to you again, Josh. I first got to say that I was always a fan of Cam's as a player when I played with him and covering him. And we talked about this topic a lot during the broadcast this season. And unfortunately, a lot of the games towards the end of the year, we had lots of air to fill during some of those rough games. So we've been talking about Cam's future for a while. And I've said that I think it could be a good situation if he was to move on. And obviously, I wouldn't have expected it to go as it has. And by that, I mean kind of odd circumstances with the news just coming out as of yesterday that the Panthers want to trade it or are willing to trade him and, you know, potentially could release him. I think maybe it could have been a little bit better to have this, you know, 2 weeks ago, a week ago, where Cam could have been in front a little bit of the market, but that's not the way it went down. I think that the Bridgewater signing is outstanding on a 3-year deal. I think he's rejuvenated his career after a bad injury and got with the Saints and was around a lot of great football with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. And I think he's a good fit for 3-year deal. We'll get to see what he has and where, you know, kind of what potential he holds to be a franchise quarterback. And if not, be a placeholder for the next guy. But definitely huge, huge news for Panther fans, Panther organization, guys like myself that play with Cam, because Cam's the best quarterback the Panthers have ever had by far. I think he has a lot of football left in front of him, and I hate to see, you know, hopefully everybody will give each other a hug on the way out at some point, but I'd hate to see it end poorly, but it kind of feels like that might be happening with the way it's gone down.
Yeah, and that's the part that I'm interested in, because you were in the league for a very long time and a very good player as well. That's why your name is in Bank of America Stadium as you were inducted last year. What do these types of decisions and conversations look like behind the scenes, where a player might want to remain somewhere, but management or maybe even coaching staff have different ideas?
Well, none of us, me or you, know what's gone on and who's said what and how many conversations there's been had between ownership and Cam and his agent. So it was probably irresponsible for me to even say wish it would have happened sooner. Maybe Cam did know. Maybe, you know, there was open communication.
Absolutely. I was speaking more recently on a general basis. What's something maybe the audience might not understand about how those conversations take place?
Yeah, well, you know, the team ultimately has all the leverage in the relationship, right? So they're the ones with the job to offer. So, for example, when Dave Gettleman came in as general manager going into my 11th year, I still had 2 years left on my contract and pretty lucrative years, which would have been nice to fulfill on my end, and I was happy with it. Well, Dave came in, and he valued, you know, with my age and where I was at a lower number and ended up doing a 1-year deal. And there was nothing I could do at that point other than leave. So the power sits with the team. If Cam really wants to stay, if the team doesn't want him to, then he doesn't really have much say in the matter. And that's just the way that it is. And the guaranteed contracts you see in other sports, that's why those players in basketball and baseball have so much power to void contracts and exercise no trade clauses and all those things. We just don't have as much of that in football. And, you know, it's funny with the CBA just being ratified or agreed upon 11 more years, there's not going to be that power for players either.
Did you find anything interesting about the CBA, or specifically some of the guys deciding to sit out, 500 guys deciding not to even vote on it?
Well, there's a lot of guys in the NFL, right? It's the biggest league, most players, so you're going to be hard-pressed to find a deal that everybody agrees with. A lot of guys would be very educated and up to speed on every bit of the CBA. Some guys are enjoying the off season and they're just going to vote the way that their union rep tells them to or suggests that they do. So you're getting all variants of opinions, just like people voting in the primaries right now, right? Some people know the ins and outs of every candidate on the ballot and others just think,
just voting party.
Guy, right? So, yeah, right. So a little bit of everything. I think 17 games makes sense. I know that there's the whole injury thing and all that. I, for one, hated the preseason. You could say that guys aren't going as hard potentially and you're not playing as long. But I did not like the preseason. I think it was necessary for a couple weeks, and I think training camp is necessary. But another regular season game doesn't seem crazy to me, especially if you're getting more money for the bottom end of the league and the middle class of the league. To get them an opportunity for more money, that's a big deal. It's very meaningful, and I think it was something worth considering. I'm glad the league did it. Plus, there's going to be more football for all of us to talk about, right?
Jordan Gross, yeah, no doubt about it, with us from the Panthers Radio Network, Panthers Hall of Honor inductee as well. When did you know this Heisman winner out of Auburn was going to be special in the NFL? When did you know?
I had no idea until our first regular season game, the first game of the year at Arizona, and you know what happened, but Cam set the rookie single game passing record. I think he had 4 touchdowns, and he was Superman. That's where it all started. He was jumping over the pile. We ran quarterback power, which is an unheard of play where the quarterback is the ball handler with a lead blocker on the goal line. And when that stuff started happening, I just thought to myself, holy cow, this is a whole different breed of player, different breed of football. And I was excited to be a part of it. He really challenged me in my career to adapt, because we started running the option. I'd never run the option before my whole career, and now I'm going into my 9th year with being asked to do all these different things. And as an O-line, we had a more complicated pass protection scheme with Rod Chudzinski he brought to the table. So a really exciting time, and with Ron Rivera. And I was incredibly proud of what we did that first year when Cam was a rookie and Ron was a rookie head coach, because it wasn't coronavirus, but we had a lockout that offseason. So there was no offseason. Different circumstances, but very similar to where the Panthers are at now with a new head coach and an unknown offseason. So be excited to see what Matt Rhule can do with Teddy Bridgewater and company. And really, who knows? I was on a show earlier and they were asking me, is this a rebuild or is this a win now mentality? And I said, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. It'd be foolish to do any speculating on what the Panthers are going to be in 2020.
It could still be a rebuild with Teddy's contract, but I think the one thing this week's news kind of rules out, I don't think the Panthers go quarterback in the first round when you have somebody who potentially could take the reins at 27 years old. And on top of that, it's just a 3-year deal. So maybe if things don't work out this year, you could also draft somebody. And Teddy is an excellent teammate based on everybody I've talked to in New Orleans. He's somebody who could bring a quarterback along if he doesn't become a franchise guy in someone's estimation this year.
Right, I think it's you definitely send a message to the fan base when you draft, where you acquire Teddy Bridgewater, that we're winning now, we're not tanking. I think it gives you, as you just said, you said it perfectly, gives you the ability with the first round pick this year to pick your best value. Right, so think about if you're in a car lot, right, and they've got a Ferrari on sale for $50,000, a brand new Ferrari, and maybe you already have a sports car. But that Ferrari is valued so low, you got to take it. Even though you might need a work truck that's only worth $30,000, but you'd have to pay $50,000 to get the work truck, you're always going to be mad that you paid $50,000 for a $30,000 work truck when you could have had a Ferrari at that same price. And that's how I value. That's how I view first round picks. Is you want to get the best value for your pick, so that you always have more options in the future. You can never have too many defensive linemen. You can never have too many linebackers. You can never have too many great players at any position. Plus, trade value down the line is something that's phenomenal. You're seeing that with all these receivers that are getting traded now for first-round picks. So I would hope the Panthers would pick who their scouting department, their coaches have selected as the most valuable player at that 7th pick. You pick that guy, and then you're in the process. That's the word, right? The process. You're doing the yes. right things to be a winning franchise long-term.
A lot of process, a lot of culture. Jordan Gross with us here on Sports Up Drive. Before we let you go, Cam has a lot of football left. No one's denying that. But when he is done, what do you think his next step is? Because I thought this guy, he's just so entertaining. He's done stuff on Nickelodeon, kids' shows we're talking about. Always great in his press conferences, the outfits. What do you think is the next thing for Cam whenever he decides to stop playing football?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, he is a big kid, right? And he loves, I mean, from the way he dresses to his showmanship on the field, he just loves having fun. So I can't – he's got his clothing line going. I see him, you know, advertising a luggage company he works with. He's got his cigar bar, men's club – or club, excuse me, not a men's club, club in Atlanta. He's going to be creative and an entrepreneur, I can guarantee you that. And Maybe something that'll combine all of it. Maybe he'll do a clothing line for Nickelodeon.
Whoa, that? There you go. Idea man, Jordan Gross, in addition to all the other things I said. Anyway, I hope you're staying safe in this really strange time we're in right now. Really do appreciate the time in the Triad today, Jordan.
Yeah, thanks for having me. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you got it. That's Jordan Gross from the Panthers Radio Network, Hall of Honor inductee as well. All right. The craziest NFL story of the day involves one former ACC star, and perhaps soon another is going to get involved. We'll explore that story when BDOT joins us live in studio. Next.
Here comes the life of the party.
The Drive.
Corrupting the minds and the hearts of our children.
With Josh Graham.
Program for low expectations.
On Sports Hub Triad.
We've got BDOT's grammar school in 15 minutes, but a quick visit to BDOT's journalism school.
Uh-oh.
I just now went back and listened to some of the tape. It was the last game of the ACC tournament, the last ACC basketball game, period, played this year. North Carolina, their season ending against the Syracuse Orange. It was Jim Boeheim's first win in Greensboro. If the entire tournament's canceled, does he still get the win? In Greensboro? Are we going to count that?
Not as far as I'm concerned.
And we probably shouldn't count it because there's no value in Greensboro, right?
Mm.
That might be the way to look at that.
You tell him.
This is what BDOT asked a player that just had his season end, Leaky Black, in the post-game locker room for North Carolina.
What'd you have for breakfast this morning?
Whatever.
He was on one today. He was on one. What'd you eat today?
That's the first toast.
Okay. I just wanted to know.
French toast!
I just wanted to lighten the mood a little bit.
What's some bleeping French toast?
He went off, too. He
left. Robert.
French toast. I tried to fit that into the rom-com intro yesterday, and I couldn't find a place to make
what
it work.
What's some bleeping French toast? People who know, know. Anyway, that was a good journalistic question. I just want to know how many people around you looked at you funny.
Oh, man, you should have saw them. Yeah, like maybe six heads looked up like, what? And I told you, that's the thing that scares me, Josh. That always scares me because they're in there asking all these serious, in-depth questions. So how does it feel? What is your percentage? And then I go, so what'd you have for breakfast this morning, bro? You were on one.
No, well, you were just trying to lighten the mood. The post-game locker room after losses, not a place to lighten the mood. This is another lesson that we're teaching you here. They are bummed out, and guess what?
Yeah.
No question that you ask is going to make them not bummed out.
Hey, but that was the only time in that whole 30-minute period that anybody laughed.
Who laughed?
He did.
Did anybody else?
No, me and Leaky. We were the only ones laughing. At that moment, we were the only two people in the room, so it didn't even matter.
All right, before we get to the Reptar region, 90s kids show bracket.
Yeah.
We're going, and Bomani Jones is going to join us in 30 minutes from ESPN. Let's get to your closing message. The season's over for the Tar Heels. You are the unofficial mascot of Tar Heel basketball. Your closing message is what?
Thank you, B-Rob. Thank you for your years of service. You are a national champion, and you will always be one of my favorite Tar Heels. Thank you, CK. It finally started to come along at the end for you, man. Gosh, I really wish you could have done a little bit more with your skill set. Pierce, we'll holler at you. Listen, Tar Heel Nation, be excited of what is on the horizon, guys. Four names for you. RJ Davis, Caleb Love, Dayron Sharp, Walker Kessler, and don't forget, Armando.
Yes, he said he's coming back.
Oh, he's going to be back.
No love for Puff Johnson.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Puff right there. Excuse me. Thank you. Hey, Josh, do me a favor. Stay out of my segment.
Sorry about that.
Appreciate it. Garrison Brooks is going to be back. He's going to be a man, baby. He's going to be a man, baby. And then we got Francis coming. We got Harris coming. Listen, next year, we're looking great. And I'm going to say it. 40-0, baby.
Whoa!
40-0, baby. Hey, and I'm here to let you know, Tar Heel Nation, I'm just not being optimistic saying that there are players who are mirroring those sentiments. 40-0.
Who?
None of your business.
Say a name.
I won't.
Name them.
I'll tell you off the mic.
Name them.
I will tell you off the mic. I will not put that.
Give me a player who said they're going to be 40-0.
I'm not going to tell you. See, look at you waiting. No, I will not do it. But just know that is on the bulletin board. 40-0.
I'm looking at this poll right now. It is 50-50.
Are you serious?
Family Matters and Hey Arnold. 336-777-1600. I want to get this settled. So is it Hey Arnold or is it Family Matters? Robert, you line up the first three callers and you better not sabotage this. 336-777-1600, the number. Family Matters, Hey Arnold, what's the better 90s kid show? In the meantime, this was the toughest region for me. The Reptar region. Let's hash it out.
The madness continues on Sports Hub Triad. When I wake up in the morning and the market's unwanted, I don't think I'll ever make it on time. Bill Nye the Science Guy.
I wanna be the very best, like no one ever was.
It's the 90s Kid Show Bracket. Let's go to the Reptar region.
Where the number one seed is Rugrats.
Oh, man.
Facing 16th seeded Sailor Moon. I like Rugrats to win that one, of course.
Easy.
Just tough for 16 seeds in these brackets.
Yeah.
This is the toughest one in the first round. Keenan and Kel, 8 seed versus 9th seeded Barney.
I got to go that big purple dinosaur, man.
Me too.
I got to go that big purple dinosaur. I'm sorry, Keenan and Kel.
The orange soda, not as good as the I Love You, You Love Me song.
We're all happy. Hey, boys and girls.
Number four seated Wild Thornberries facing 13th seeded Inspector Gadget.
Na-na-na-na-na.
I'm going with Wild Thornberries.
Really?
See, you're unfamiliar. We learned with Nickelodeon shows.
Yeah.
You're not about them. Like, give me a Nickelodeon show you've watched.
All that.
Okay. That's one. Robert, we need a tiebreaker here. Wild Thornberries or...
Inspector Gadget.
Inspector Gadget.
If either one of you can tell me another character on either one of those shows...
yeah. It's Nigel and Eliza Thornberry.
All right. Thornberries are through.
There you go. Are You Afraid of the Dark as a 5-seed facing 5th-seeded X-Men the Animated Series? I think it's Are You Afraid of the Dark.
Yeah, I'll give you Are You Afraid of the Dark.
5-seed, very strong one there. 6-seeded Bill Nye the Science Guy versus 11-seeded Legends of Hidden Temple. Come on now. It's Bill Nye.
I'm 0 for 2 on both of those.
You don't like Bill Nye?
Never seen it.
Man. Ninja Turtles versus Cow and Chicken, a 3-14.
Hey, Ninja Turtles all day, baby.
Who's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Michelangelo.
There you go. 7-seeded Arthur versus 10th-seeded Goof Troop. It's Arthur just because the meme has dated this very well.
I'll give you that.
Full House, a 2-seed facing 15th-seeded Digimon. Get out of here.
Yeah.
It's all about Pokemon. Digimon's not where it's at. That's why it's a 15-seed. Full House through to the round of 32.
Agreed.
Rugrats versus Barney.
Rugrats.
I think it's Rugrats as well.
I mean, by hair. That one went into overtime.
Man. A really strong, game. A bad draw for Rugrats.
Really?
Really is. Nah, for Rugrats, that's a really tough second round game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wild Thornberries versus Are You Afraid of the Dark? You haven't seen
either
show.
So I'm going Wild Thornberries.
Wild Thornberries is where it's at.
Okay.
We're going with the number 4 seed. They're on to face Rugrats. Full House, who I think they're going to advance past Arthur. Full House to the round of 16.
Yes.
Bill Nye versus Ninja Turtles might be the toughest matchup of this entire damn bracket.
Ninja Turtles all day. Come on, man. Michelangelo, Raphael, Donatello, Leonardo going up. And then you got Splinter. You got the guy with the hockey stick, Casey something.
I'm sold.
Casey Jones.
Running up
Casey
the score.
Jones, man.
Running up the score. Save it for the round of 16.
Sorry.
Rugrats versus Wild Thornberries. This is where it ends for Nigel, Eliza, and the gang. Rugrats, the 1-seed. Going to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Ninja Turtles versus Full House. I think it has to be Ninja Turtles for this reason.
Why?
Full House had a lot of its life in the 80s. The Ninja Turtles lived all throughout the 90s. I think it's a stronger 90s kid show by definition.
Also, Danny Tanner's a punk, and I feel like the Turtles would bully him in the paint. Stamos is going to be worried about his hair, and in the end, they're just going to get cut out of this tournament.
And Casey Jones would kick Stamos' butt.
I see what you did there. All right. It is number 1 seed Rugrats facing three seed Ninja Turtles.
I have the exact same thing, Josh.
Man.
I have the exact same thing,
this
bro.
This is incredibly tough. We need to figure out what's going to happen here.
Because I just enjoy doing this coronavirus purge, sitting in the house and actually watching old episodes with my daughter, I have to move Rugrats ahead of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And that hurt me because I love pizza because of the Ninja Turtles.
I got the Ninja Turtles, Robert. We need a tiebreaker.
Oh, my God. Make some sense of it all, Robbie.
Let me tell you something. Tommy, I ride or die. A baby's got to do
what a baby's got to do.
Give me the Rugrats.
All right, Rugrats to the Final Four.
Gosh.
But who are they going to face? Is it Family Matters or is it Hey Arnold?
Mm.
There is a Twitter poll that's hotly contested. It's at 50-50.
It's still 50-50?
Still 50-50. Let's go to the phones very quickly. And Robert, who should I go to first here? Let's go to Dustin. Dustin, Hey Arnold.
Family matters all day.
All day.
All right. Let's go to the next caller. Rob in Winston-Salem. Is it Hey Arnold or is it Family Matters?
Josh, big fan of the show. I just want to let you know that it's Family Matters, and I'm really enjoying the show so much.
Robert!
It's got to be Family
Matters.
That's
you!
Family Matters, baby.
I'm looking at Robert right now on the phone!
Oh, I got to go. I something actually came up. I got to go. Bye.
Right. I was wondering why there's a reverb in my headphones. I'm looking up and Robert's
hilarious.
On the phone!
I thought it was a fan who really liked the show.
So that's two votes for Family Matters.
It is. I can't dispute it now. Family Matters,
yeah, buddy,
is in the Final Four.
Yeah, man.
Just, that's democracy, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
There we are. All right, it's time for BDOT's Grammar School. No, I lied. BDOT's Grammar School is next.
Yeah.
We handle our microphones slightly better than the Patriots' Bill Belichick.
Stupid thing.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham.
We've got the Final Four for the 90s kids show bracket. We'll do in a bit. Teams are making official all the moves we've been talking about the last few days. The official league year starting, the new league year starting at 4 o'clock, so about an hour and a half ago, and Tom Brady is going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. The question that I think is on many's minds today, how good are the Buccaneers going to be? Is this a team that immediately becomes the favorite in the NFC South, the favorite to win in the NFC? How much can Tom Brady change with an organization that hasn't made the playoffs in over a dozen years? That's the question. When you look at that immediate history, you think, oh man, quarterback can only do so much. You don't have Bill Belichick there anymore. But then on the other side of it, Tampa Bay, they won a Super Bowl and they did so with Captain Checkdown throwing those passes and Brad Johnson. That's an organization that's never really figured out the quarterback spot. So here's how I see it. I expect Tampa Bay to be a playoff team with Tom Brady, and they will be a Super Bowl contender only if they make a couple of moves. Specifically, they need to completely shore up the offensive line. It's a good O-line. Top 10 in the NFL last year, according to Pro Football Focus. But the strength of that line is in the interior. The tackle spots could get a lot better, specifically left tackle. So the first thing Tampa Bay needs to do, get the Washington Redskins on the phone and rescue Trent Williams, who's been over there for the last year or two, just miserable. His health was put into danger by Redskins staffers, according to Trent Williams. The Redskins know they're going to trade him, but they're not changing what his price tag is. They're saying it's got to be a second-round pick. If I'm Tampa, I give them a second-round pick. Or at least start a negotiation and say, yo, we got a comp fourth-round pick, compensatory pick. We have a third-round pick we could give away, maybe package some things together. If you're dead set, you don't want to give away the second-rounder, find a way to get Trent Williams on your roster because you got a quarterback who's relatively immobile, even though I know his mobility in the pocket is underrated in many ways. Secondly, you need to take care of the secondary. That was the big hole with Tampa Bay last year. Tampa wasn't a bad team. 7-9. They were close because when you look at it, 6 of the 9 losses they had were by one possession. The difference in Tampa Bay being close to a playoff team and then being where they ended up at 7-9, 30 picks by Jameis Winston. You're not going to have to worry about that with TB12. Tom has thrown 29 picks in the last 4 years. Jameis threw 30 last season. That's going to change things so much for the Buccaneers. This is a team that's going to play a rebuilding Panthers team twice. Going to face the Atlanta Falcons, which has stripped down its roster a little bit. So I really believe Tampa Bay, the things are set up for them to have success already the way things currently look, but you need to take care of left tackle, bring in Trent Williams. You need to shore up the secondary. You can do that with the 14th overall pick. There are a lot of good DBs who Mel Kiper and Todd McShay have first-round grades on. Maybe Paulson Adebo, the corner out of Stanford, Grant Delpit. Watched him a lot from LSU. He's the safety. C.J. Henderson, staying in the SEC, Florida corner. Jeff Okuda is not going to drop that far. The Ohio State corner, who's just going to be a lockdown guy immediately. One of the safest picks in the draft. Bryce Hall, who I've watched a ton of at Virginia. He might not be, because of injury, a top 20 pick. But if Tampa trades down, that's a guy you can get in the mid-20s. So fix the secondary first. That's the thing that you need to do, along with taking care of the offensive line. If those things happen, Tampa, they might be the favorite to win the NFC. I don't think that's a leap to say. Tom, I'm not worried about his style of play. He has more weapons to deal with than he's had in nearly a decade. Like, when's the last time, Robert, Tom Brady had this kind of arsenal at his disposal? You probably have to go back to the second Giants Super Bowl. It was Randy Moss at wide receiver. I think it might have been his last game with the Patriots. Might have that right. Randy Moss, Wes Welker at wide receiver. Like, that's probably the best it was for Brady. Now you got Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, O.J. Howard at tight end, Rashad Perryman, a good third wide receiver. Let's not forget, Brady threw for over 4,000 yards last year. Is that number surprising to you? Like, the way people talked about Brady's game being deteriorated a little bit, his game going downward, does it surprise you at all when I say he threw for 4K? 336-777-1600. Because look at the guys he had to throw to. Worst weapons in the league. You're throwing the ball to Julian Edelman, who missed the first four games of the year due to substance abuse issues, PEDs. You don't have Danny Amendola on the team anymore. Gronk retired. You're throwing the ball to Ben Watson, who was catching passes on the other bad offensive New England teams, 2004 and 2005. That was 15 years ago. N'Keal Harry is a rookie wide receiver out of Arizona State. Like, these are not proven guys. This is a massive step up for Brady in terms of weapons. And I think it's going to get better now that Brady's there, much like we've seen with the NBA and LeBron and others. Heck, we even saw it with the Patriots, guys going out of their way and taking less money just in the way to win. I think people are going to do that on the short-term basis. Veterans try to join this Tampa Bay team and try to make that strong. Try to win with Tom Brady. So yes, I like what's going on with the Buccaneers. Going to this bracket now. This is where it gets really tough. B-Dot, he likes Family Matters to win it all. I didn't think Family Matters belonged in the Final Four. I thought Hey Arnold did out of the Dancing Lobsters region. So there's bound to be controversy here. 90s kid show bracket. Let's get to the Final Four.
It's time for March.
The madness continues on Sports Hub Triad.
When I wake up in the morning and the market's unwanted, I don't think I'll ever make it on time.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
I wanna be the very best, like no one ever was.
It's the 90s Kid Show Bracket. We've reached the Final Four.
Yes, we have. By the way, the poll that BDOT put out there, that Robert actually voted on, so he sabotaged it a bit. 60% of voters said Family Matters is better than Hey Arnold. So I'm all about democracy. In this circumstance, Family Matters gets into the Final Four, fair and square, but it's going up against Rugrats. It's a 6 versus a 1, 3-1 seeds making it into the Final Four. That's something that hasn't happened this week. Robert, I'm thinking Rugrats here. Where are you on Family Matters, which, again, has gone had to go through a ton of battles in order just to get to the Final Four, facing Rugrats, which has been a pretty easy road. Yeah, they had a tough draw with Barney and the 8-9 in the Reptar region, but Wild Thornberries? Come on now. Ninja Turtles? It was all Rugrats all the way to get to this point. What do you think about this 1 versus 6 in the Final Four?
I don't know. Rugrats definitely had some tough battles too. Ninja Turtles wasn't a cakewalk. It wasn't just a layup for them. They had to go through all the Turtles, plus Splinter, plus Casey Jones. And when you look at Family Matters, they've got depth. The people you're not thinking about, Waldo, Eddie's best friend, he's coming off the bench. Myra, the baddie of the show. I think she's even badder than Laura Winslow. I think she could start if the
What does baddie mean?
Baddie? She's hot. She's bad. She's good.
Okay.
It's nice.
This is not BDOT's grammar school.
Anyway. You got Harriet, you got Eddie, you got all of Family Matters. That being said, I still feel like Rugrats is the show that touched more children, kids in
Whoa.
The 90s. I mean, not in a Bill Cosby way. I'm talking about like...
Bill Cosby didn't do that to children.
I'm saying Rugrats touched more kids, got to more people's houses than I think Family Matters did, and for that reason... I'm going to put it through.
I'm putting Rugrats through as well. 336-777-1600. I just put up the poll on Twitter. You just let us know which 90s kid show out of these four is the best of the four. So who is Rugrats going to face? Fresh Prince one seed versus one seed Boy Meets World. Holy shnikes, man. This is...
I like that way better than bleep. You can do shnikes all you want to.
Are you scared I'm going to slip like Roy Williams?
No, I'll just dump it or not, and maybe you'll get fired. Who knows? But I would rather you do shnikes than bleep.
I'm not getting fired.
You got the Bill O'Brien going on now. You're like, they can't fire me. Robert, I don't like how all your baby mamas are hanging out around here. I'm tired of that.
All right. Fresh Prince versus Boy Meets World. I liked Boy Meets World as a show better. But I think Fresh Prince has more influence. When I'm thinking about greatness, whether it's LeBron versus Jordan, or in this case, Fresh Prince versus Boy Meets World, like, it's comparing apples to oranges. In this case, it's the same era, so maybe it's more comparable, unlike the MJ-LeBron debate. But Fresh Prince had more influence, and people still talk about that show more than they do Boy Meets World.
I think you have to look at the next level. Will Smith at the next level after Fresh Prince?
It was a better springboard. Who was elevated in a major way from Boy Meets World?
It wasn't Ryder Strong. Like, he's hanging out with your brother.
That's right. Mr. Feeny? I didn't see him in anything else.
He died.
Did he?
I don't know, but
I'm
assuming
he's pretty
old. Can you fact-check
that? Why did you kill Mr. Feeny?
I'm sure he's dead.
Without knowing... Why did you just kill off Mr. Feeny?
I bet
you he's still alive. Just because you did that. I bet you whoever the actor is that played Mr. Feeney, he's
alive.
Definitely still with us. I would have heard.
He's 92.
There you go. What's his name?
William Daniels.
Why'd you kill William Daniels?
I assumed Mr. Feeney was dead.
He's still with us, but Boy Meets World isn't. Fresh Prince advances to the championship.
And I think this next matchup is unfair.
Fresh Prince versus Rugrats?
It's not even fair. You've got a bunch of grown men on the court with babies, Josh.
But then again, I watched Space Jam over the weekend, and you would think the team with Charles Barkley, Larry Johnson, and just physically is a lot bigger than the Looney Tunes would win.
But
they did not.
Exactly.
So I got to know, where are these games played? Like, who has the advantage? I don't know what the Final Four site is. We know West Philadelphia region, Mr. Feeney region, Dancing Lobsters region, and Reptar region, but I need to know where this matchup is taking place, because if it's in the animated world, then I think you gotta give the advantage to Rugrats. If it's not, it's Fresh Prince.
Okay, Rugrats had some dispute, even though they are both number one seeds. I think Rugrats had some trouble with Family Matters, correct?
Yeah. I can't hear you.
And they're going to... You can hear me.
Well, now I can hear you.
That's going to end up... This championship is going to be played in Bel Air. They were more dominant throughout this whole scenario.
That's right. They were the tournament's overall number one seed.
Yeah. And I think that's going to keep them in the home field advantage. And then when you play in
court.
Bel Air, court, whatever you want to say... I hate when you do that. I lose all train of thought when you correct me.
Okay, it's in Bel Air.
Yeah.
An advantage?
It's in Bel Air. Fresh Prince has the advantage. I think they have the advantage athletically. I think they have the advantage with fans. And they have the advantage with theme song, which in the end I think means more than all those other accolades put together.
Only problem, we've seen Carlton play basketball. It's not good.
I know, but who's on him? Chucky Finster? If we're doing nerd on nerd, Chucky Finster's going to guard Carlton?
Chucky Finster, very, very crafty.
He is crafty. Maybe they can put his dad
on. Like, his dad definitely wears short shorts and has the long tube socks to get him prepared. Like, his fundamentals, Chucky Finster, very strong.
I have to look up his dad. You might strike an uncanny resemblance to Chucky Finster's dad.
I don't. I don't have the mustache. So... I don't resemble him in any way. I don't know why you would say that. I forget his name. Right?
Chaz.
Chaz Finster.
You do look
like... Are we making Chaz's? Anyway.
Yeah.
I think we're in agreement. Fresh Prince of Bel Air is the best 90s kid show. It is the winner of the 90s kid show bracket. Congratulations. Yes. Those 90s children who have now become adults. Did we choose the right decade here? Like,
you think it should have been 2000s or what?
No. I think 90s is the right one, just because, you know, it reaches so many different people. We're talking about 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Yeah, and we don't care what these coronials have to say. So
coronials.
Yeah, it's the generation that's going to go through this is going to be the coronials.
Oh, that's right. So don't take that as a shot to people who might be older. No, this is a shot to those who aren't even born yet.
Yeah, they don't understand.
Like, what's the age group of coronials? The kids that are going to be born because all their parents are indoors with nothing else to do?
Yeah, 2020 kids are called the coronials.
All right. Tomorrow, it's going to get heated.
The
fourth bracket, 5 brackets in 5 days. It is colors.
I'm telling you, 16 seed Razzmatazz, you need to watch out, because not only are they an off-brand color, they're going to bring a style of offense that you don't see from these regular blues and yellows every day. They're shooting from half court, and they're making it, Josh.
Vote on our poll at Josh Graham Radio, at Sports Hub Triad. A lot of votes already on this. Which 90s kid show do you think is the best? Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Boy Meets World, Family Matters, or Rugrats? We'll update you on some of those results. Also, we got ticket to the house. Robert, what do we got?
You've heard of a bull in a china shop, but how about a chicken in a weed shop?
I'm intrigued. We take it to the house next.